This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. Our preview of the WCPO documentary on the 40th anniversary of the Who concert tragedy in Cincinnati is coming up. But first, this week, an event takes place helping local individuals through the process of sealing or clearing some nonviolent felony records. There are certain requirements that must be met, and those attending will get the opportunity to meet with attorneys, paralegals, and volunteers who are trained to help navigate the process of filing. So joining Cincinnati Edition to talk about it are Cincinnati City Councilman Chris Silbach. Chris, thanks for coming back in.
Thanks for having me.
And we also have with us Ohio Justice and Policy Center attorney Alicia Miller. Hi, Alicia.
Hi, nice meeting you.
Okay, so this is on Thursday this week. And Alicia, I'll start with you because what's the type of person that might be interested in something like this?
So the type of person who would be interested is really anyone who's had any type of contact with the criminal justice system and is looking to get that removed from their record. So even people who have been arrested and they have not been convicted of anything can still have that arrest record pop up on their background check. So anyone who is interested in having a clear background check should come to the event to see how we can help them.
What are the type of instances in which those folks who have this type of record in their past, where they would find themselves possibly being discriminated against or barred from participating?
So there's a lot of barriers to employment, housing, education, professional licensing, even volunteering. That is related to having a criminal record. So it could be a number of things that people are prevented from doing because of their background check.
And there have been some recent changes, I understand, that may allow some people who previously did not know or have the opportunity that they would be eligible for such a program, and now they can be?
Right. So the law is constantly changing around the issue. Years ago, it used to be that you could only have one conviction on your record in order to get conviction sealed. Then it became you could have two, a misdemeanor and a felony, or two misdemeanors to get your record sealed. Now there are two different pathways. The first is if you have no violent offenses, felony sex offenses, or felony levels 1, 2, or 3, you can get, and you have less than 5 felonies, you can get those 5 or less felonies and any amount of misdemeanors sealed. And if you have a violent offense, a felony sex offense, or a higher level felony offense, you can go through that second pathway. You can have 1 felony and 1 misdemeanor on your record, or 2 misdemeanors on your record, and get those sealed.
The Expungement Clinic is Thursday, December 5th from 3 to 6:30 p.m. at New Prospect Baptist Church. And Councilman Chris Silbach, your office is part of this. Is this event part of any advancing city policy or legislation, or what's the motivation here?
So, you know, this past year, we decriminalized marijuana in the city of Cincinnati. And in those discussions, you know, we had a lot of people who talk about, you know, they may have messed up when they were younger, but they did their crime. You know, they did their punishment. They went to jail or they did. But, you know, after you complete your punishment, it should not have ripple effects for the rest of your life. And so we heard stories about people that, you know, that were prevented from getting meaningful jobs or housing because of their record. And, you know, they did their time, and so it's time to move on. And so we reached out to the Ohio Justice and Policy Center, and my office, in addition to DJ JDO, have put this on to help people seal their record so that they can be employed in something that pays well and find housing that is reasonable and acceptable. And so it really came out of the discussions around us decriminalizing marijuana.
But there's not exactly some official city position on this yet.
So we're studying better ways that we can let people know their rights so that know that now it's not illegal to possess marijuana in the city, and also how we as a city can fund better efforts to help people get their records sealed.
Okay. Alicia, you're an attorney with the Ohio Justice and Policy Center. I was hoping that maybe you could give us an example of a client or two who maybe is in a position to benefit from something like this expungement clinic.
Okay, absolutely. I have a client who has a master's degree in healthcare administration, and he had a robbery conviction from 30 years ago and is not able to now get employment in healthcare administration. He came to a clinic Because of the nature of the offense, a robbery conviction, he cannot get it sealed, but he can get what is called a certificate of qualification for employment. And if there's a mandatory restriction for someone who has a felony record working in a certain field, it gives the employer or the licensing agency discretion to hire that person or license that person. So we're working on helping him be able to work in healthcare administration through eliminating the barrier of mandatory restriction on a felony conviction, but also absolving any negligent hiring liability that the employer might be open to by hiring someone with a conviction, because the CQE also gives them immunity from negligent hiring suits.
So you're talking about someone who 30 years ago was convicted of a robbery,
yes,
which is considered a violent offense.
Yes.
Okay, but has since all these decades later gone on to achieve a graduate level education, but still faces barriers to employment in the field that he studied.
Correct.
Okay, how common is something like that?
It's very common. We help about 350 to 450 people per year. And a lot of people come to us because they've tried over and over again and they can't get jobs, or they've tried over and over again and they can't get housing. So just in the nature of continuing to try, time passes. A lot of people are having problems, and the convictions are a lot of times older than I am.
Wow.
Chris, here in our community in the city of Cincinnati,
yep,
when you were talking about the marijuana policy and the
sure
shift in the city's policy on that issue, were these the types of stories that you were hearing?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, there's people that have gone on to, you know, become lawyers or become healthcare professionals, and that, you know, when they go to apply for a job and the employer does the background check and they see that there's this, you know, past conviction from 30 years ago, they don't get hired. And, you know, that's not fair. They've done their punishment and they've made something out of themselves, very successful. They deserve to have the jobs that fit their education. And so many people are underemployed because of these impediments. And so we're trying to help them. And you're going to have direct access to legal professionals that are going to help you, if it's possible, expunge your record. And so I just want to say, if you want to sign up for this, text the word JUSTICE to 833-520-0714. This is completely free and open to anyone.
Okay. We talked about the shift in marijuana policy. Before I go on, just remind our listeners what that was.
So we decriminalized marijuana in the city of Cincinnati. So
with certain amounts.
Yes. And I can't remember the exact amount right now. But if you are in possession of marijuana, unless you're literally having tons of it, it is not a crime in the city of Cincinnati anymore.
Okay. So the city adopted that policy related to marijuana. And
yes,
you say that the city is currently studying potential policy related to this issue, these barriers to employment based on people who have felony convictions in their past. What's
exactly
driving this evaluation at the municipal government level to, I guess, either reduce these barriers for people convicted of crimes or to better acclimate people who have been in criminal situations back into regular society?
Sure. I mean, you know, we know that our jails are overcrowded. Most of the time when someone goes to jail, they're released several hours later because we don't have room for them. And it's also incredibly expensive to jail someone. And so I think it's the opinion of me and many others that someone that's in the possession of marijuana or something like that, it's not worth, and who is not a violent offender, it's not worth putting them in jail and spending all of that money. And it's also in our interest to help them become a better part of society, to get a good job and be a taxpaying citizen. So I think that is the shift in the city policy that we're seeing.
Alicia Miller is an attorney with the Ohio Justice and Policy Center. What does it mean to have a record sealed? Is there any evidence in a search database, a searchable database, that says you can't know exactly what this person did, but there is something on their record hidden?
So there is a difference between record sealing and expungement. Ohio uses record sealing as a way to clear your background checks. So background checks, most background checks will not be able to access a sealed record, but there are some that will be able to. So if you're in healthcare or education, you may end up applying for a position that has access to a sealed record. And an expungement is completely deleting the record.
On tomorrow's show, Cincinnati Edition at noon, we're going to be talking to a man who served 23 years in prison for a murder that he, you know, was convicted of and was responsible for taking this woman's life. But really, the talk on that show is about how long before someone is rehabilitated and how long before the punishment doled out by the government is sufficient to say that this person has paid the price for the crime that they did.
Right.
Alicia, what are your thoughts in general about the system that we have and whether we as a society recognize that people have paid the price that we have deemed appropriate as a society after they've committed a crime?
I think that we don't currently have a legal system that recognizes what a lot of people's thoughts are on rehabilitation. I think that people have an idea of when you commit a crime and you get punished, you're supposed to learn from that experience. But a lot of times there's just a focus on the punishment. And that is where a lot of these collateral consequences come from, too, is excluding people from jobs, excluding people from housing and things like that are all a part of punishment and not giving any credit to if they've been rehabilitated. So I think that the laws are getting better, but we're still not fully to a place where we can say if someone committed a crime 30 years ago, let's not give it any type of attention at all. So I think that we still need to get to that place.
You share the story of a client that you have who has a master's degree in healthcare administration, cannot find internships in that field or get licensed because of a 30-year-old robbery conviction. Another client story that you shared with us before this interview today was a woman who has a domestic violence conviction on her record, but was able to get that sealed. What can you tell us about what happened after she previously experienced barriers to the workplace, then got her record sealed? What happened?
So she actually came into the clinic with her young children. She was a single mother trying to support her children and got denied from a specific job opportunity. So came to a clinic to get information on how she can get her record sealed. She had a domestic violence conviction that did end up getting sealed and ended up getting a job offer from the specific job that denied her, but also got several other job offers and then was able to find employment better than what she had originally been looking for.
The Expungement Clinic is Thursday, December 5th from 3 to 6:30 p.m. at New Prospect Baptist Church. We've got details at WVXU.org inside the Cincinnati Edition tab. Councilman Seelbach, you also offered a number.
Yes. So to register, text the word justice to 833-520-0714. And I just want to thank Kamara Douglas from my office who has been instrumental in putting this together.
Okay. Before I let you go, this wasn't something that we had prepared to talk about, but our next segments throughout the rest of the show are related to the 40th anniversary of the Who concert tragedy in 1979 at Riverfront Coliseum, what we now know as Heritage Bank Arena. You had mentioned that the city, you reminded me that the city had recently, more recently, gotten rid of something that you consider to be a useful tool in crowd management, and that is the mounted police officer.
Exactly right. One of the most important tools to crowd management is police officers on horses. And unfortunately, around 2004, through budget cuts, we eliminated that. And so, you know, it's something that I've tried to bring back every budget cycle, but have not been able to yet. But I think it's incredibly important when we have large events like Taste of Cincinnati or Oktoberfest that we have police officers on horses, because it is one of the best tools for crowd control.
Yeah, it's like a mobile, elevated status for a police officer.
And intimidation. This horse is, you know, it's able to push people in certain directions. So,
what happened to all the horses?
I believe that we allowed the police officers the opportunity to take the horse that they were assigned to. But I promise you, they were humanely, they're living a good life now. Nothing bad happened to them.
We appreciate that. Cincinnati City Councilman Chris Seelbach and attorney with Ohio Justice and Policy Center, Alicia Miller. Appreciate you both being here today to talk to us.
Thanks for having us.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer for today's show is Elise Meckler. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Subscribe to our podcast at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks.